The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You're right, lads.
Yes, hello.
Yes, good, thank you.
And this will be the last weekend we do before Christmas because, of course, I'm going away. In fact, if you're listening to this on a Saturday, I'm probably on a plane somewhere.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We're going to North Wales.
Perfect. A little flight up there.
Yes. It's easy to get there and back. It's lovely weather this time of year. It's snowing and all that stuff. So, good. It's been... you all right, Steve?
Yes, good, thank you.
What are you doing there? Just
I see most of you. What am I doing?
What? I can see you just shuffling around a bit, you know?
Oh, I'm just trying to get myself comfortable.
Just break dancing.
Yeah.
I just tried the leg up on the desk job, but that didn't feel very comfortable, so I've kind of put it back down again.
Okay, which leg was that?
It was the left one, actually, for change.
One leg on the desk. How on earth is that ever going to be comfortable? Just one leg on the desk and one below?
Well, it wasn't. That was the point, it wasn't.
That's an odd sitting position, one leg up on the desk, one below. That is never going to be comfortable in 1,000 years. I would never think of that.
Well,
let's think of a comfortable position to sit in, one leg up, one leg down. Lovely.
Yeah. I find you've got to try these things to eliminate them from life.
Oh, yeah, you sit in. Go on.
Steve's just trying all different positions, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to try these things. Head against the window. What's that like?
Yeah, not done that one.
He's certainly a trier, isn't he? He loves to try these new things, Steve. Yeah. Okay, lads, well, Peter, any news from your front?
Oh, my front?
Yeah. Or your back. Oh, but I don't need from your back.
There's some big news around the back, but I won't go into that.
Yeah. It's all hot air, apparently. Right, okay, so it's not been a bad week, is it? Hey?
It's good. I'm enjoying the time in the markets at the moment. Yes, it's definitely good. I mean, obviously, should we start with the bad and then move on to the good?
Yeah, let's. In fact, it's a good point. Yeah, start with the bad. Yes, go on.
Justin got us involved in shares a few years ago. No,
that was
good. Teapot obviously has finally gone pop, really, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's up on Friday. It's at 24%. So, but did you see the place?
That's the end of that fire. You know, the fire has that final burnout. It gets really bright and then dies.
Yeah. Did you see the place in though?
Yes, 80% discount or whatever it was.
It was like, yeah, the price was like 0.5 pence and the placement was at 0.1 pence. It's ridiculous. It's nuts. But they raised it's like, talking about dilution. Wow. But I think it's basically that was the last survival. You know, it was that or they weren't going to survive. You know, it was almost like it was a life support machine that was. So, but do you know what? I mean, what do we learn from this, first and foremost? What do you learn from this? What, I mean, any lessons we can take from this? Good. Right, so that's brilliant stuff. Even doing nothing, yeah? Are you still there?
Hello.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Have you learned anything from this? That's silence. So you learned nothing. So now looking for the next teapot. I thought you genuinely hadn't learned anything. But have you learned anything? I mean, the thing is, yes. Have you learned anything from it, Steve?
Don't invest in teapot again.
That's it.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I don't know. What is the learns from this? I don't know.
I think I've learned something, but it isn't what Justin wants us to learn. What Justin will want us to learn is, you know, cut your losses, get out when you're only a mere 50% down or whatever it was, you know, and not hang on. But that's not what I'm going to learn from that, because I don't think I'll change how I've approached this. What I'd learn, and Steve's right, is don't invest it in the first place. You know, get a bit of a better understanding or a really, I don't know, just try and understand the company a bit better before you actually jump into these, which I think I am learning and I'm not doing anymore, hopefully,
as much. Yeah.
But that's the big learning.
What's the lesson you're going to teach us then, Justin?
I don't want to teach you anything. That's the whole thing. You can't teach you. That's the whole problem with life, isn't it? And teaching is like, If you're most people only learn, the best lessons you're going to learn are lessons you learn yourself, aren't they? People can tell you stuff as much as you want to, but, you know, unless you actually learn it yourself, you just carry on doing the same old thing, aren't you, really? It's like, this guy this week had a go at us on Facebook, because apparently, first of all, he came on as a non-sort of... he didn't have a profile picture up on Facebook and stuff, and he had a go at Nicola Duke and me about a certain stock. And I can't even remember talking about the stock. I've never owned the stock myself. But then I just blocked him because he was an idiot. And then he came back with a profile picture and said, "You are this, you know, losing people money, you are." And they're all smug and stuff. And I bought in the leg at this point, and Nicola said he was going to this. So he just basically, you know, Nicola talked about a chart. He just bought into it straight away. And, you know, thinking he was going to... And I thought, you are a simpleton, an absolute simpleton. Because I just think you've got to start...
With all due respect, you are a simpleton.
Yeah, you've got to start doing a little bit of research for yourself. And you can't just blame other people. Because at the end of the day, and, you know, you've got to take responsibility. It's your own money. No one else hit that buy button apart from you, you know? No one else. So can't blame someone else. It's like, how many times are you going to take a bad tip from someone or whatever? Or just keep, you know, thinking, oh, that's the way to get rich. You've got to put a bit of work in, you know? And but Teapot, in my mind, was, I just think, believe the figures, not the hype, you know? And there was cash burn there. And, you know, the CEO was doing a good job of talking them up pretty much. But they weren't reducing their cash burn at all, you know? The cash burn wasn't coming down. And the growth wasn't there. So just think, you've always got to look at the figures. Just look at the figures and think, hang on a second. They lost a ridiculous amount of money and it's not slowing down, you know?
Yeah, I think what I got caught up in the initial thing was the whole involvement of Jimmy Wales.
Yes.
You know, Wikipedia and all that. And it was all of that kind of thing. Oh, right, okay, well, it must be quite a good thing. And you're like, no, just because he's involved, it doesn't mean it's going to be a good thing. And it's like, yeah. So that was, I think I got caught up in that. And I think what happened was... It went really quickly. So I went from being like just 10% down or something like that, hovering around that, to suddenly being 60% down. And it's like, wow, overnight it happened, didn't it? And it was sort of like, when that happens, I don't think, like I say, I don't think I'd change anything now, because you're like, I'd rather look at it at 60% down and go, well, let's call it 100% down. You know, just go, let's wipe that. I wish I could hide it from my portfolio so I don't have to look at it. But
it's
I'm
a good
just,
reminder.
Yeah, okay, but it's kind of like...
But that's also a good thing. The sway or the bright lights of celebrity endorsement, you know, they think, oh, wow, Jimmy Wales involved. So what? He's not a businessman. And no. Really, he does a... Every 3 months, he's sending me messages about Wikipedia needing money, you know? But, yeah, there's plenty of celebs, you know, whose businesses have failed. And, in fact, you know the guy from Dragon's Den? Who was that guy who was on last? He's like an Asian guy, and he's a young guy at tech. I can't think of his name now.
I stopped watching that about 10 years ago. I don't know.
But, yeah, he was on Piers Linney. Is it Piers Linney? Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'll say yes.
His company, you know, he was on Dragon's Den, purporting to be worth them, you know, this and that, and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
His company went through. It was listed on AIM. It just went through. So, I mean, you know, you think, oh, you're celeb doing well. But at the end of the day, you know, figures don't lie. If they do, it's pretty much, you can say it's not your fault. If they're lying on their you know, income statements and everything, then there's bigger problems coming
but
to them.
But when we bought in, the figures were quite...
No, we thought they were improving. And also, they would... And also, never look at a stock saying, it's been there, it's now here, it's going to go back to there. It's not. Yeah. It was like, oh, floated at 120. Yeah, it was majorly overpriced. They're in a crowded market with big players. They have to spend a lot on marketing. And also that thing about it being a charity stroke. People don't care. People are not going to just sign up to a mobile network because there's a charity, you know?
No.
They want a decent... When I join a mobile network, what I want is decent coverage, decent data and all that. I don't care if it's giving money to charity. I'll do that. On my side, I do that. I give regularly to charity, you know, debit. Don't get that entangled in the business idea.
So, yeah, and also, I'm not sure what it is in America, but I've never once in the UK seen it advertised anywhere. So how do people know about it?
Exactly. I don't know. But
I think that's a good point, isn't it? It's like... Ask yourself, you know, would you buy into this? Would you buy this product? Would you, or whatever it is, or a service, whatever it is, whatever this company? And if the answer is kind of like, nah, not really, then you've kind of like, why are you investing in it?
Yes. You know, well, it's true.
You could have said that about Bitcoin. No, I wouldn't have invested into that. No, I didn't. But
you can see that the Bitcoin there has, you know, future potential to be the next money that everyone uses. You know, everything's going online, isn't it? So you can see that has potential.
Yeah, and it's the most popular of a bunch, isn't it? So the cryptocurrency thing is kind of building now, or it's exploding now, really. And then Bitcoin's the top of it, isn't it? The most well known. So,
but it's like we said last week. What's his name? Warren Buffett. He says that when you're investing in a company, you are buying part of a company. You know, yeah. So if you're an investor, not a trader, day trader, short-term trader, different thing, you're looking for bounces here and there, looking for to scalp, say, 10, 15%, whatever, 20% maybe. But if you are an investor, you are looking at a business, and you think, well, okay, and you know, put yourself in that position. If I was walking on the high street now and I had a chance of buying a business with a mate of mine or something, or this guy's business, what would you do? If you're looking into buying it, what would you actually do? You know, thinking, you say, do some due diligence on it. You know, spend a bit of time looking at it. It doesn't hurt. It's a business, you know?
Yeah. And, but then, I mean, am I going to buy any graphene? No, but Vissarion's a great buy. So buy
no, but the thing is, though, if you look at the reports of, you know, graphene's been touted for ages, right? It's been the new hot thing. And, you know, it's going to change so many sectors. It'll have impact on so many sectors. And yet, you know, you had a friend come to you, say, listen, read some reports on this, on graphene. I've got a chance of investing in the graphene or the business and getting a foothold in this industry. I would have a go at that. I would say, oh, yeah, sounds exciting. You know, I'd go for it. And that's the reason why I got in the first place. You know, because I like the company and the business and Neil. And I think graphene's going to be huge. So, and also, you've got the valuation of the company at the time, you know, when we got into Vissarion, was about 15 million market cap. So it's, you know, and, you know, you could do that with any business. I just think now, I was looking at, you know, I can get these notes up. Like, did you both buy into Valrix?
I did, yes.
Yes.
I mean, I just think this is a no-brainer for me. The reason why, it was like, when we first got in, it was running about sub 3 million market cap. You know, this is a company with two drugs in phase two trials. Now, there's three clinical phases, right, that go through. So, and after three, it gets commercial. So they're just reporting on two drugs, you know, before year end, they're saying, on phase two. Now, they both think, I've looked at previous tests they've done, the readouts they've done, it looks very promising. It's all in line with expectations. You know, it's safe, it's efficacious, and it just looks like it's going in the right direction. Now, they've got convertible loan notes in there, because we know what happens here. And when you have convertible loan notes out there, all you got is a big seller there, sitting on the bid there. All the time, there's a bit of liquidity. They'll sell into, you know, a 5% discount of the share price. And so it keeps pulling the share price down all the time. And it's been doing that for years. And when you're going through phase one, it's a long time, then phase two costs a bit of money, so you need money. So one thing about companies normally who have convertible loans, they're not short of cash, you know, because they've got this, you know, facility there standing for them, where drawn down. So they've got three tranches of 1.25 million each. The first tranche has been used up completely. Third tranche they've cancelled. They've drawn down 400,000, they've cancelled it now. And there's 1.2 million left on the second tranche. But they've also raised some money. Now, it looks like, because they've cancelled tranche three, it looks like they're going to be done with it. You know, they're going to use this. The drawdown has been on tranche two. And you know, I've seen what happens after these clear. First and foremost, you've got, like, My Square happened. Six bagger overnight, pretty much, on My Square. And I was watching that. I actually had a spreadsheet of the tranches going in, and they announced it. And I was seeing how far they were away. And normally, they will clear them. If there's something going on in the business, there's a development happening, they'll clear the convertible loans normally before the end, before the natural end of them. And so I was getting into My Square for a while, and, you know, as soon as they cleared, you know, they've got a bit, the business was changing, something was happening, and it just flew. And at the moment, you've got the same thing with Val. You've got this company, there's no company in the world you can find that is, you know, in end of phase two, just one drug, less than a 10 million market cap, let alone less than 5 million. These have got two drugs, you know, clinical phase two studies. And if you look at the recent deals done on phase two companies. I mean, I'm trying to get the note list of you. I'll open this note. I'll tell you. These are the recent deals done on companies that have been in phase two. And these are the prices, the thing. So Cormont Pharmaceuticals acquired Bristol, acquired by Bristol Myers Squibb, which is a massive business, for $520 million. All right. Elise Pharma 2, acquired by Jazz Pharma for €18 million. Okay, so a lot less, but still. That's five times where we are at the moment. That's just one drug, you know. Redox Therapies, acquired by Juno Therapeutics, for $10 million in cash up front and the commercial milestones. And again, that's just one drug. Pharmalytics, acquired by AbbVie for $21 billion. So, Medivation, acquired by Pfizer for reportedly close to $14 billion deal. So these are deals ranging from sort of $10 million, you know, And that's for one drug, and also that's more cash from others. So, I mean, you've got something happening here. We've got something happening here that's very interesting. And I think, you know, if they report positive news on Val 401 and Val 201, which are the drugs, and they clear these convertible loan notes, well, I think will happen in together, I think, this will fly. And we're still talking about, well, what, 5 million market cap. It's ridiculous. That valuation is nuts. And so...
Well, it's up to about 8 million now, speaking on Friday afternoon. But yes, it's still very small, isn't it?
I haven't got 8 million. I got 5 million. Hang on, let's see what's on there.
I've got just one.
Let's have a look. But even that, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yes. 8 million is nuts. And if you're the shape wise. Go on.
Here's my question, because it's moved quite quickly. Now, because obviously we were speaking in the week when you were first talking about it, and I missed the first kind of rise, but then it conveniently came back nicely to pick us up, so that was lovely. So I bought in about just under 1.7, I think it was, and now it's kind of rocketed up 3.2. And obviously, yeah, the more I'm reading into it, the more I'm understanding it. I'm like, yeah, actually, I want to put another tranche in there, but obviously, it's gone a bit hype at the end of the week. Results are due, I don't know when, before the end of the year, obviously, but it'd be nice to put a little bit more in. But when do we do that? How do we do that?
Well, the rule I try and stick to, which is hard to, if you get, you know the rule. What is the rule? You know the rule. What is the rule?
Never buy a high.
What?
Never buy a high.
Never buy a high.
Never buy a high.
I told you, never buy a high.
What is it, Steve?
Never buy on a high.
Well, you
a or rise,
the... yeah, on an up day.
Never buy when you're high.
Never buy when you're high.
Never, yeah, that too.
That too, yep. Never buy if the share's high or if you're high.
Yes,
if you're,
those two.
If you're sober and the share's high, it's fine. Or the other way around. Share's low, you're high, fine. No, that's not the rule. I've said it before. Try and buy on a, if you got confident the company's undervalued, you didn't do your own research. Try and buy on a down day.
Yes.
Try and sell on an update.
I was kind of right. It's like the reverse of what I said, really, wasn't it? So,
yeah, you're kind of right, Steve.
It is, but no, okay. So what I'm trying to say is, because looking at the market cap and looking at potential, you kind of go, okay, yeah. If it became one of those, like one of the companies you just read out, any of these levels at the moment, even though it's an up day today, it will look like a decent buy, won't it? Like if you're buying around 3p, but obviously. Next week, we could see a bit of a sell-off while the results are still waiting and all the rest of it. And if it comes down to 2.5p or something like that, is that worth buying in, putting more in then? That's my question.
Well, I didn't listen to what you said. I was reading something.
Damn. Steve, explain. Steve, do you want to put more in?
Well, if it's going to go up more, yeah.
How much are you putting in, guys? I mean, percentage-wise of your portfolio. I mean, that's what you should look at. How much should you put in? I mean, you should be exposing yourself the correct amount, really, in the first place. How much do you put in? I mean, percentage-wise?
Yeah, tiny, like 3% of my portfolio or something. Yeah.
How much should I put in? Yeah, about 2%, yeah.
Well, why that small, then?
Why that small?
Yeah.
Well, because you're trying to put in, like... tranches, aren't we? So that we don't, depending on where that price goes, if it dropped a little bit more, put a bit more in. Ultimately, well, three tranches to have only 10% of your portfolio. Yeah, that is about 3% at a time, isn't it? There you
okay.
go.
Well, all right.
What percentage have you put in?
I thought that when I originally bought it just above the placing, and I did average up. I bought some more, but because I was happy it was moving in the right direction. I've sort of split into two rather than three tranches, so I put 5% in and another 5% in a bit further up.
Okay.
And I've got to say, I did sell a bit on Friday just because, just to protect a bit of capital, because I had a big, sort of biggest chunk in there. It's done very well, and I sold a bit. But, I mean, I've still got a chunk in there, which is a nice chunk, and I'm happy if it does well, I'll do well as well, even more. And, same with, I think tertiary now. Tertiary went nuts in it, did 300% in 1 day or 2 days. And I sold a bit down on that. And now I'm down about only about 4% of my portfolio of that. But I wouldn't mind putting some more in now. It's coming back a bit because the potential's still there. When people start selling, they start having a bit of doubt. And that's when the potential comes in, you know? And I just think, you know, when the people's... It always happens.
That's what I'm saying about Val, isn't it? I'm just saying, like, I want to put some more in, but, like... and it will look cheap. You know, if this thing goes to 6p, 9p, whatever, 3p will look good. But... Do I try and put it in now, or do I scale in slowly, and then if it drops next week to 2p, then put more in? I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it? And when I bought, obviously, this week, because it had a very volatile week, so it went up, then came back down, and you sort of, well, is it, how far down is it going to go? Yeah. And so you don't put, I didn't put 5% in at that point, or 10%, you know, it would be, because it could have gone further. And it only needs these results not to come out. It needs to be a delay, and we'll see the price come right back, won't we?
Yeah, exactly. It can always come back, so I wouldn't worry. Yeah, I wouldn't worry if it comes back, it'll come back, it's fine. Well, you know. Yeah, let it come back. People, you know, it's odd. I was talking about Bitcoin, the rise, you know, the almost unstoppable rise of Bitcoin. And we kept saying, oh, 10,000 will be the, you know, the place it'll crash at. Then it went up to 12,000. And then it went to like 15,000 within 24 hours of 12,000. And then you get to the stage where you think, this is never going to stop, actually. You start believing the hype that, in fact, everyone will be using Bitcoin in the future, everyone. So, of course, it's going to be expensive. And then when everyone starts believing that, that's when the crash will come.
Yeah.
When no one's expecting it, you know?
Yes.
But when people are expecting it, it's not, because people are just buying the dip all the time, and it doesn't work like that. So,
it's like the Dutch tulips, or whatever it was. Was it the tulips?
Yeah, the tulip frenzy, crisis. But, you know, same with stocks. It's like, you know, when you think it's not going to come back, it will. And that's why so many people get burned. You know, and it's like my father. My father and my brother now are obsessed with the stocks because they've gone in a few with me. In fact, they've gone with Tertiary Minerals and Vallourec, and they think it's all like that. My father called me the other day. He said, "You know this? He bought some Codal minerals, Codal," and he said, "Just Codal." So it hasn't moved a lot in the last 2 weeks. Should I sell it? I said, "Dad," I said, "He owns a car sale." I said, "When you buy a car, do you sell it straight away after you come out the auction and get a good nice return on it?" He said, "Well, I hope to." I said, "Yeah, those two stocks you've got, Valerie and Tertiary Minerals, are quite exceptional. You got in the right time and it went nuts. That doesn't happen with every stock." He said, "Oh, doesn't it?" Because the other stock he's got is Asian Met, and he's in there at 1.4. And so he thinks all stocks like multi-baggers. And he's become obsessed.
I'll tell you what, he has just selected, or you have selected for him, the best one.
So, yeah. he thinks he just calls me now every day. Anything, anything there? Any tips? And then, my brother's texted me, he's calling me. I think, God, what's going on there? But it is all about exposure. Someone said to me the other day they're going to get into cryptocurrency. And I thought, oh, don't get into cryptocurrency now. When it's nuts. Whenever it hits the headlines, it goes nuts. It hits mass, you know, like everyone I know is almost trying to get into Bitcoin now. You think, you're a year too late. You are too late. It's like, but you so when you realise that you know, something can't rise any further, it will. And it happens with like certain stocks. It does happen with like CloudTag. You know, it went beyond normal traders and normal investors. You know, some of these people told their friends on the pub or in rugby clubs or football clubs, wherever, or you know, wherever they go. And the just normal people started setting up accounts, started buying it, and they pushed it up into extremes where you think, wow, that's nuts, it's gone that far that fast. And that can happen, you know, it can happen with any stock. But also,
that literally is the question I seem to get off everyone. People who know you do shares, they go, oh, so Bitcoin must be good to get into now, isn't it? And it's literally what everyone says, isn't it? It's like the common.
I know. It's way
that's,
too that, late.
That's a curve, I don't know what it's called, the graph, isn't it? Where people then, well, yeah, early adopters, and then you've got all the way through to the laggards, you know, that get in at the end. But and it's like Warren Buffett says, is once the shoe shine guy's talking about stock, it's time to get out of the stock, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I got up in the morning, went back into my bedroom to get some socks on the treadmill, and Megan was awake, it was quite early, and the first thing she said to me is, do you own Bitcoin? And I thought, right, Megan knows about it, that's flag number one, red flag number one there. So when my mother starts asking me about Bitcoin, that's it, get out.
And, something to do with Bitcoin, yeah.
I know, totally. It's nuts, but it's like that with stocks. My father will see a share price rise. Like the other day, Asian Met went up, I think the last rise, big rise, Asian Met of 12 pence went up to, it was quite a nice rise. My father said, should we buy some more? I said, what are you talking about? I said, this is when everyone's buying like that, that's the time to sell. You know, everyone's selling, that's not a buy. You should, that's the way it should be. It's just because people get the fear when there's people selling, don't they, and all that stuff. Yes. Anyway,
it's interesting when you talk to people that don't have or have very safe investments, which is very sensible and very good, or safe investment, I mean, funds where you're just paying a fund manager to lose your money, but anyway, but things like that. And it's funny, I was talking to a couple of people recently like that, and they kind of go, oh, it's so risky with the AIM market, and it is, of course it is, but the more I've got into it, the more I understand it. And more, I'm going back to how much you're actually staking there. I'm starting to now go, yeah, I can stake a higher percentage. I feel a bit more comfortable with what I'm getting into. But it is about experience and learning And it's those people that are just jumping in and piling in all their money because they're not sure what they're doing. And that's how they lose it. And that's where the reputation comes from, it being risky. But I can see that actually it is risky, of course. But then that's the exciting part as well, isn't it?
But yeah, because that's exactly. That's the thing is, I'd forgotten, I'd gone off a tangent. This guy said on Twitter, how do I get into investing in cryptocurrencies? And I just said to him, I've given Nicola Duke's thing, she's a chartist, and I said, Nicola could probably help you. I said, but listen, I have one bit of advice for you, and that's, think about risk, learn how to manage your risk. And he said, yeah, will do, I'll do my research. I said, no, it's not about that. It's not about research at all. I said, the thing is, you can't control the movement of the price. You can't control that at all. The only thing you can control is how much you expose yourself to that movement. That's the only thing you control. So once you've got that risk management under, you can, like I said, if you've got your risk management sorted, you can make money on any stock at all. As long as you buy in at the run up at the right price and you don't overexpose in the first tranche and you scale in at proper levels, you can make money on most stocks, you know, as long as you've got a decent, as long as it's these people going all in on one sort of trade and thinking, people like that do go. And first time investors on AIM do that sometimes, especially if they're the winner. If first time they've invested, they're a winner. You know, that's the dangerous thing.
Yes.
They check all that into the next big one. They go, hey, you can make rich here in a couple of trades. It's not that. It is a trade. You learn. And, it's takes a while.
Are you still in Blue Star Capital?
No, I saw that those miles ago. I mean, I got into it because of blockchain and all that stuff, but it's not going to go anywhere with this. But it's nuts, the blockchain thing. Is like dot-com booming at the moment, isn't it? Everyone, loads of companies at the moment are changing names to blockchain. I remember the dot-com thing, the same thing happened. They just changed the names to dot-com. They flew overnight. And normally these companies are the ones that they couldn't be doing anything. The chart's been going down for years and years and years. All of a sudden, they add a blockchain thing to it, and it's flying now. Because blockchain, what do you think? Bitcoin. I mean, blockchain's the next big thing, isn't it?
But, okay, so here's my, I know you need to go now, don't you? You need to do some more podcasting. But quickly on Blue Star, like I bought in at, I think it was 0.18 or something. So I de-risked at 0.36, so sold half. And now it's at 0.59. Now what do I do? Do I sort of, cash out now? Because it's a well de-risked.
How much is it up?
For me?
Yeah.
So it's at 0.6. So I bought.
Well, I don't know. I didn't listen to the numbers. I know.
Oh, sorry. So I am 200% up.
Okay. What's up to you? I mean, you could, take half off every 100% you go up. I mean, this and because as the price goes up, right, the risk goes up. People think it's the other way around. It's not. The reward becomes less, the risk goes up. There's more chance because it gets overvalued, And so you think, what is the value here? And there's a lot of companies like that. So if you value a company and a company's got assets, decent assets there, and, it's like tertiary minerals got decent assets there. It's underpinned by those assets, As the price goes down, there's no point getting worried about it. The reward goes up, the risk goes down because, it's getting closer towards being, or the values and way below those assets. So it's almost like, that's what it is. So I just think, as that price goes up, keep de-risking if you want. It's up to you, though, if you haven't got to, if you want to see where it goes. But I mean, onto a loser there, you could put a stop loss in, stop it going below, original buy price. But I mean, it's up to you then, isn't it? But as well, you could, every 100%, you could sell half.
Yes, interesting.
But anyway, so tertiary's good. I think what else? I think things to look out for. I think next year could be good for Upland because I think several bits of news from Upland is good news there. Horizonte, all that is good. There's lots of stuff. Feedback's got a Flying Brown's got a what's it called? A milestone coming up. Certification. Harvest Minerals got stuff coming up as well. Certification there. And
Jen Garda's coming back a bit, isn't it? I want to buy more of that. I think that's going to be
Jen Garda again. Yeah, 158 million pound NPV and super efficient. 80% IRR. No one's into that at the moment. You see, it's trouble. No. But once people catch on, now is the time to buy that stuff. And now is the time to do your research on it. And now is the time to buy when people are not buying, and then you're in. Early on, and then you'll be doubling before most people do, and you'll be getting out when they're all getting in, and that's a good thing. It's nice to be de-risking, selling half when everyone else is getting in and talking about it. It's a good thing. You sit back and enjoy the ride. Right, ladies, have a nice Christmas. I better go because I've got to chat to somebody else on the
podcast. Yeah, enjoy North Wales.
Yeah, I will.
Yes.
It's lovely this time of the year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye, boys.
Disneyland, North Wales.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.